Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the first day of the year that we have a chance to gather and worship and honor Jesus. And so we pray that, Lord, as we begin this day together, we have no more promise of any other days than today. And so we pray that as we begin today, as we begin in this place, that we might make spiritual commitments to you that will be lasting, and that you look in our hearts and you see our motivation. So, Lord, thank you for being with us. Thank you for touching us and changing so many of us. And we pray for those who are here with us today who need to be touched by Jesus, who need to be changed from the inside out. May they find their joy like we have in trusting in Jesus and believing in him. So open your word to us now. Teach us from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning and happy new year. If you have your Bible, Romans chapter 3. Good to see all of you here today on the first day of the new year. Who would have thought? 2017. And as I ask you to do during the welcome, you know, some of you didn't catch it, but I say this to this church all the time. Looking around, one thing is for sure. You're all older today than you've ever been. How about that? Isn't that brilliant? It's true. So being older today than you've ever been, you need God's wisdom for today. Yesterday's wisdom isn't going to help you. You need what God has for you today. All right. Over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about one of the most amazing truths in all the Bible. God's grace. And we're going to have to bring up something else. My mess and your mess. This may be one of the only times in church you get to say something to your neighbor that otherwise you wouldn't get to do. But I want you to practice this morning, because here's what I've discovered. Everybody in here has made a mess. Wouldn't you agree? Everybody here. All kinds of messes are represented in this room. So turn to your neighbor and say, "You are a mess." Go ahead and do that. You've wanted to do that for a long time. And you can all look at me and say, "Pastor Mike, you are a mess." And yes, I am. I am. So in Romans chapter 3, chapter 3 of Romans is almost a climax of chapters 1, 2, and then 3, talking about my mess. Anita made this beautiful artwork for us. And when she did, notice the words in white, God's grace; in black, my mess. So not long ago, I had to go to the grocery store. Usually, Pat, I put it on the list, and she tells me don't go to the grocery store, because I usually go in there and say, "Man, look at this. We could buy that. We could have this." So you know how that goes. You may be one of those kind of shoppers too. But I went in there, I forgot something, so I went around aisle 9, and as I turned the corner to aisle 9, now you got to listen to this illustration. This is important, because it'll help you with Romans 3. Turned aisle 9, and by the way, just an observation, have you noticed, I'm not in the shopping stores much, but it's amazing to see how people are changed when they get a hold of a shopping cart. Have you ever noticed that? They just completely change. Something possesses them, and they just start going really fast. Just go to Walmart, you'll see what I'm talking about. So we turn aisle 9, and there before our eyes, this sweet little first grader, she was probably trying to help her mother. She reached up and sadly, all the spaghetti jars around her fell all over the grocery store floor. And there was a lot of spaghetti on the floor. And there she was. And her mother said, "You have made a big mess." Have you ever been like the little girl in the middle of a big mess like that? Oh, yeah, boys and girls know in here. Sometimes our rooms are a mess. Sometimes our house is a mess. Sometimes our marriages are a mess. Sometimes our relationships with others are a mess. Sometimes even at the church house, it's a mess. Well, today we learn that our mess comes from sin. So we're going to think about our sinfulness and God's grace. And we're going to hopefully understand how our mess can be answered by the grace of God. That's the good news. That's the best news of the gospel, that God's grace is for my mess and my mess and my mess. You know, I try to clean up that one and another one happens. And the messes just go on and on. So if you'll stand with me and honor the reading of God's word, we're going to read Romans chapter 3, beginning in verse 21, about our mess and God's grace. Paul says, but now, apart from the law, let me pause as I'm reading. The law, he means by this the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal. You should not commit adultery. You should not bear false witness. You should not envy your neighbor. All of these things. You should not commit idolatry. All of these, the laws, the Ten Commandments. Apart from the Ten Commandments or the law, the righteousness of God has been revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. So what is this righteousness? We learn in the Old Testament that the only righteousness that comes is by obeying the law of God. That is God's righteousness. That is God's standard. Well, even the righteousness of God, wait a minute, not through what we do, but through what we believe, through faith in Jesus Christ for all. Please read those words. For all those who believe, there is no distinction, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. All of us have a righteousness that can come to us because we believe on Jesus. For all who believe. Then notice he says, for all have sinned and fallen short. Or we could read it with the emphatic, for all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. Being justified. All of a sudden we read this word justified. Being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. So now, Lord, as we stand with our copy of God's word, we are accountable for what we hear. And how I pray that today you would help me in my words to help us all and myself to understand the seriousness of our sin. We are in a mess, Lord. We're in a mess we cannot fix on our own. No matter how much we try to obey the law of God, no matter how much we try to be good, we're still bad. We're in a mess. So today we ask that you'd help us to understand the gift of your grace, your favor. Your favor for our failure. Your favor and your forgiveness for our weakness and our sin. We thank you, Lord, that we can celebrate the new year thinking about your grace. Your grace that is greater than our sin. And we thank you today for Jesus, who became one of us, who came into this mess and redeemed us so that we might have life. Help us to understand the seriousness of sin so that we might rejoice in the glory of grace. So, Lord, we pray that you would be with us today as we hear your word. And may my words honor Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. I want to make several observations today from Romans chapter 3. And then what I'll do, if you'll keep your Bibles open, I'm going to actually go backward. I'm going to go into chapter 3, earlier in chapter 3, and then into chapter 1 for just a few minutes today to talk about the importance of understanding how our failures and our sins God has granted to us. He has graced us. So I want you to see, first of all, that sin, as I've already been mentioning, is the source of my mess. If you go back and look at verse number 20, the Bible says, by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. So what does the law tell us? What do the Ten Commandments teach us? They teach us that we can't live up to the standards of God. We can't fulfill perfectly the law of God. So therefore, Romans 3:23 is Paul's conclusion. All have sinned. Nobody will ever be justified who's born into this world before God by their works. People still tell you that, though. Sometimes they tell you, they say, well, you know, I don't know about all this Jesus stuff. I'm just going to be a good person. You can't be a good person. No matter how hard you try. You're going to say things you shouldn't say. You're going to do things you shouldn't do. And you're going to go places you shouldn't go. We're all caught in the same reality. We're going to sin. So this word sin means to miss the mark. We miss the mark. The mark is, here's God's standard, and here's my behavior. My behavior never matches the standard of God. And not only does my behavior not match the standard of God, I just keep falling back farther. All have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. This is everybody. You see, everybody's in a mess. And our mess is caused from our sin, missing the mark, missing God's standards, not treating God, listen, or not treating others as we ought to. See, sin is about right treatment of others and also about coming to God and treating God as He's to be treated, worshiped, honored, obeyed, glorified, followed, but we can't do it. So sin is the source of our mess. Just like that little girl, there she was. She did it. She reached up to take that jar of spaghetti, and there it ended up with a whole bunch of others on the floor. And the effort to reach up to do this good thing failed, and it was all around her, and she was in a big mess. Romans 2, 9 and 10, I put it here on the screen just to remind us that what the Bible says. There is tribulation and distress for every soul who does evil. That's the mess of the world. That's the mess we're in. No matter how much we try, we sit down and we say, okay, I'm going to have a New Year's resolution. I'm going to really be good. Well, it lasts about 10 minutes. And then we're bad again. Tribulation and distress, but glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good. So we learned this morning, first of all, that sin is the source of our mess. All have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. Second observation I want you to see from Romans 3 is this, that everyone in the world, no matter their language, no matter their religion, no matter where they live, whether they're living in the deepest poverty in some parts of the world or whether they're living in materialism and blessings like we are in America, listen to me, everyone in the world, every boy and girl, every mom and dad, every male and female, everyone in the world is in a mess because of their sin. Their sin. So go back now in Romans 3, and I want you to see how Paul reminds us of this. He says in verse number 9 that whether you're Jew or Greek, we are all under sin. If you see that in your Bible in verse 9. And then I want to read to you from his, he takes and he strings together some of the Psalms and some of the words of Isaiah in these verses from verse 10 through verse 18. We won't read all of these words, but I want to read just the first few verses. Notice what the Bible says. All the world, now remember, is in a mess because of their sin. There is none who is righteous. Not one. No matter whether you go to Africa or Asia or you go to America, you go somewhere in Europe, you're not going to find anyone who is perfectly righteous, who has obeyed completely the Ten Commandments and never had sin. There's none who are righteous. Not even one. Not even one. There's none who understands. You see, people spend their time trying to understand life, but they don't pay attention to the Bible. They don't pay attention to what God has said. They have no understanding. Sin, listen to me, friend. Sin, the mess we get in, changes our perception, our understanding. We don't think right when we're in sin. We don't think right when we're in a mess. There's none who understands. When we're in our mess, we don't seek God. We don't have time for God. Many, many today who are waking up this morning, who celebrated again the new year in a partying kind of way, and they're having a hard time getting up this morning. These are people for whom we need to tell about Jesus and the grace of God. They're not thinking about seeking God today. They're just trying to seek relief for the pain they have from the way they did and what they did last night. There are none who seek God. None who naturally, on their own, seek God. You have to be born again to desire to seek God. He has to change your heart and life. He has to, like we've talked about before, go inside of my spirit, bring me back to birth, and give me new desires and a will and a desire to follow Jesus. I don't have that on my own. I wasn't born with it. None seek God. None are righteous. None understand. All turn aside. No matter where they live, no matter what kind of language they speak, No matter what kind of religions they hear about doing good things to appease God, and if you'll do good and you'll pray and you'll do these works, somehow you're going to be good enough. No, all have turned aside. None are righteous. None understand. None seek God. Together we've become useless. There's none who does good. It's not in us to do good naturally. Why, you see, we are the center of our world. That's why some of us will say sometimes, well, so-and-so didn't talk to me. Okay. The point of that is what? I'm the center of the world. They should have talked to me. Why? They didn't give me the front row seat. I'm the center of the world. Didn't they know who was here? Don't they know who I am? I'm the center of the world. Everyone in the world is in a mess because of sin. And so we must remember today that the situation we find ourselves in is of our own doing. Sin has blinded me. Sin has weakened me. Sin has enabled me to come to God. Sin keeps me from understanding. When people try to talk to me about the mess I'm in, I don't hear it. Everyone in the world is in a mess. Leads me to my third point that goes right with it. The world is a mess because of sin. You know, somebody said to me the other day, Pastor Mike, the world is in such a mess. It's getting worse and worse. It's always been bad, friend. The world's always been in a mess. If you've been in school and you've listened to American history or European history, or if you read your Bible and you read, lo and behold, here is Adam and Eve in the garden in that beautiful, amazing paradise. They sin against God and do what they want to do. They're put east of Eden out of the garden, and not long, one of their sons murders the other. And from there on, we've had murder and death and killing and injustice and suffering and pain and trouble and difficulty. And if you watch the newsreel of the media talking about 2016, you saw another newsreel, as many of us who've lived for any amount of time have seen year after year. Yes, the world is in a mess, and only the coming of Jesus will make this mess right. So we're in a mess. I get into a mess in my own life, even after following Jesus. Sometimes I don't do what I ought to do. I rebel against the Lord. I don't do what I should do in my praying and my practices of following Jesus. And I get over in sin. That's why John said to me, as a Christian, if I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me of my unrighteousness for his name's sake. So today, we got a mess. Politicians aren't going to fix it. Governments aren't going to rearrange it. School education isn't going to solve it. Only a relationship with God. The world's in a mess. I want you to go to Romans chapter 1. I want to elaborate on this a little bit more. I'm trying to make it as dark as I can so that when I talk about grace in a minute, you'll see the light of grace. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm not trying to be despairing. But I want you to hear me, church. We must be gripped with the reality of the darkness and the pain of sin. It is our mess. It is our mess. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we read, how does God react to sin? Romans 1:18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress, they push down the truth in unrighteousness, in not living right. This is the condition of our world. God resists the proud. God, a holy God, is separated from sinful man, and only through Jesus, as we're going to learn, do we have a way back to a holy God to be justified, this is the amazing thing, by Him, if we'll believe on Jesus. But we live in a world of ungodliness and unrighteousness. I want to show you this in three ways, and I'm not going to elaborate too much, but I want to point them out. Verse 21, even though people from the beginning of creation, I want to read verse 20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes, His eternal power, and His divine nature have been clearly seen. In other words, just look at nature. Look at the creation. Look at the stars. being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, there's a God who created all these things, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Self-centeredness. Self-centeredness is described in this way. It's the best way to describe it. Verse 21. They did not honor God nor give thanks. Self-centered people don't honor God, worship God, or thank God for anything, because they are the center of the universe. And when I live in my mess and in my sin, and when I put myself in the center instead of the Lord himself, I am guilty of sin. I am guilty of living self-centered, a self-centered life. Oh, self-indulgence. How about this one? Verse 25. For they exchanged. Not only did they not honor God and give thanks, but they exchanged the truth of God, that God created the world and order and the way things are in a certain way. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worship and served the creature rather than the creator. And then if you read on down, you discover where self-indulgent living leads. Self-indulgent living leads to this. I can do whatever I want. I can treat people however I want. I can sexually do whatever I want. And so the world spins into messes around all kinds of sexual, sinful perversion. We are the masters, by the way, in America. We are the kings of self-indulgence. We are the ones. We know more about it than anybody in America. Now you think about it. It's January the 1st. So from January 1st to about March 1st, you're going to see more commercials for how to lose weight and get on Slim Fast and take, you know, diet pills and go to the gym. People are making all kinds of decisions. Man, I've got to lose some weight because I've been eating too much cake over the holidays. Think about it. We are the indulgers. We have it and we indulge. Self-indulgence. Do whatever you want. It only matters. There's not a creator. There's not a God. You do whatever you want. You live like you want to live. If you have impulses and desires, you just fulfill them. And finally, self-righteousness. Verse number 26. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind. See, it changes the way you think when you're in your mess of sin. And you do things that are not proper. Well, maybe this sounds like the newsreel you saw yesterday. Being filled with unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, gossiping, slandering, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful, and although they know the ordinance of God that those who practice such things are worthy of death. You see, the wages of sin is death, we learn later in Romans. All have sinned. When you sin, you die, the Bible says. But also they give hearty approval to those who practice such things. They do them themselves. Self-righteousness. I don't need God. I'm my own standard. And what I do is what I do. The world is a mess. A mess of self-centered, self-indulgence, self-righteousness. All because we focus on ourselves. And the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We can't get there. No matter how hard we try, our sin keeps us back. Now look, here's the thing. I've said this to this church many times. When you live a certain way long enough, you think that's normal. So when you grow up around people who are slanderers, you think that's what everybody does. You know, when you live a certain way long enough, you think that's the norm. You see, this is why we come to know about Jesus coming and about the gospel and about what it means to be godly and to be Christ-like and to be different than we were in our mess. Oh, people are used to gossiping. Well, everybody does it. How many times have you disciplined your kids and your kids say to you, but Mom, everybody does that. It's our way of justifying ourselves. We justify ourselves by the way we live. But the Bible tells us that we're in a mess. and that every person finds themselves under the law, not seeking God, not desiring God, living in self-centeredness, self-indulgence, and self-righteousness. But then all of a sudden, we read these amazing words. We read these words that teach us the final thing. God offers His grace to get us out of our mess. This is what we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks. God offers us. Listen, this is a profound truth, church. You need to think about it. As we think over the next 8 weeks together about God's grace, I want you to join me in thinking deeply about God's grace. God offers His grace. You see, the word grace means favor. Now, what's the rest of the story that's so good about that little girl is her mother got right in the middle of the spaghetti, got it all over her, took her daughter, picked her up, took her outside the mess, cleaned her up, and cared for her and encouraged her. But her mother got in the mess. Her mother got in the spaghetti. She didn't stand there and fuss at her and say, "What's the matter with you? What were you doing? Are you crazy? Look at all these people. You've embarrassed me." No, she got in the spaghetti, got it all over her clothes, and took care of her daughter. Jesus came to the mess. So we read these verses earlier. Read with me, and I'm just about through. In verse number 21, but now, all of a sudden, something's changed. Our mess is what it is. Pastor Mike, you don't have to get up and tell me anymore about sin. I already know that. Been there, done that. That's where I'm at. What do I do because of the mess, Pastor Mike? But now, okay, right now, here's the answer. Look at this. Now, apart from the law, there's a righteousness. You can be made righteous. It is the righteousness of God. Look at verse 22. Through faith in Jesus. I'll never be righteous by trying to obey the law of God. I'll never be righteous by working to get right with God. I can't justify myself to God by saying, "God, I've worked good enough. I didn't kick the dog as much. I quit doing all these things I used to do." No. It's not going to happen that way. You can't justify yourself before God just because you don't kick the dog as much as you used to. You must believe. A righteousness comes from believing. Look at this now in your Bible. Through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. And then he says these most astounding words. Verse 24. Verse 23 and 24 open. It's like the passageway in the book of Romans. For those of you who are Bible students. In the first three chapters, you have the darkness of sin, the mess of sin. It's everywhere. The universality of sin. It's everywhere. It's not going to get any better. And then you have this statement in 20, but now, all of a sudden, wait a minute, but now, right now, in the now, I'm standing here in 2017, you're hearing my voice at 11:22 and 5 seconds, but now, right now, right now, listen to me, church, you can be justified, not, you don't justify yourself, you can be justified as a gift by God's favor. If you will believe on Jesus, you know what happens? God justifies you. Now that's an unbelievable statement. Did you hear what I said? If you believe on Jesus, if you trust Him by faith, and you're born again, He justifies you. God stands and justifies. This one no longer is under sin and wrath. This one has believed. This one has another righteousness. Because of the righteousness they believed on Jesus, they're changed. But I just want to take one part of the phrase this morning. This is all I'm going to do. Being justified as a gift by His grace. That's the phrase just for a moment and we'll be through. Being justified. You know, listen, being. That's a present tense word. It's a phrase that means being justified. I have been justified when I believed on Jesus. I will be justified in the future. I have been, I am being, and I will be. This is a profound truth. Listen, you must take this and understand. This is at the heart of what it means to be born again and for you to be secure in your salvation in Jesus. One of these days, the end will come for you and me. And then that's when people start to do things. They try to justify themselves. I was sitting with a man who's in the last days of his life. Doctors have said, nothing else we can do. He's gone home. And when we sit at home, you know, he wants to talk about sometimes, you know, Pastor Mike, there have been some things I've done in the past that weren't very good. There have been some things I should have done better. And I ask him, have you believed on Jesus Christ by faith? If you've believed on Jesus Christ by faith, you have been justified and you are being justified. You confess your sin. You confess your sin now. Under grace, here's what we do. Listen, under favor, when I get in another mess, I'm talking to my church friends here. When I get in another mess, after I've trusted Jesus, I've surrendered to him, I'm born again, but oh my, I say something with my mouth I ought not to have said. I do something with my hands, with my body I shouldn't have done. I go somewhere I shouldn't have gone. Listen, even after I've come to know Jesus and I've done that and I've gone away from the Lord, if I confess my sin, I'm justified. I'm justified. He doesn't make me walk on glass. He doesn't make me roll down. You don't have to go to church every day of the week, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. No, it's not by works. It's by believing on Jesus. We are justified. We are being justified by his grace. And oh, by the way, it's a gift. You can't earn it. The grace of God is a gift. So as we finish today, I want you to think about this. God came to the mess. That's what Christmas is about. God sent his son to the mess. And he came and he lived perfectly. He was tempted in all ways like us with sin, but he didn't sin. He fulfilled the sacrifice, as we've learned about over Christmas. He was the offering and the offerer. He is our great high priest. He is our king. He is our savior. He is our Lord. And we who are followers of Jesus this morning, we trust him. We believe on him. He has changed us. We are justified. He justifies us because we have believed on him. God's grace is the doorway. It's the way out of our mess. So think about it. It's the old hymn. We're going to sing it for our invitation. Grace, grace. God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace. God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. Amen. Maybe we change it to grace that is greater than all our mess. Boy, have we made a mess of things? But the Lord came in the mess and got us out. Now that's worth telling your friends about this week. That's worth telling your neighbors about. That's worth telling your family about, who think, like a woman said to me and Pat one day, my life is a mess. Can God help me at all? Yes, he can. Isn't that good news? God can always help us with our mess. Some of you have been in a big mess, and now here you are following Jesus. Why, people wouldn't have counted on you being where you are. They wouldn't have counted you as somebody that was going to make it. They wouldn't have counted you as somebody who'd read your Bible. You were in a big mess. But you called out to the Lord and you said, hey, here's the way to say it. Lord, I've sinned. I read it in my psalm this morning, and with this I close. Here's what the psalmist said. Be gracious to me. How about that? Isn't that wonderful language? That's the way we pray. We pray as people who get in a mess. Because of Jesus, we have a way out. He saves us. He changes us. And then we live by grace, his favor. We need that in our lives. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Thank you for listening. So this morning, friend, as you start 2017, maybe you're in a mess right now. Maybe it's a mess in your family. Maybe it's a mess at work. Maybe it's a mess in some other kind of relationship in your life. But you'd have to say, Pastor Mike, I am in a mess. And I'm ashamed of it. I don't know what to do about it. Friend, that's all right. With our shame, with our guilt, we come with that. All that mess. That little girl had shame and guilt. all that spaghetti all splattered all over the floor. But her mama came and helped her. So what about you? Bring your shame, bring your guilt to Jesus. Bring it. And trust in the Lord. Ask Him to change you and save you by His favor. And He'll do it. He'll do it. So Heavenly Father, this morning I pray for my friends who are here this morning. Some need to make decisions and step forward in front of this church and say, I need to follow Jesus. Others in this building need to come, like a couple did at 8 o'clock, and say, I've been coming here for a long time. Now I believe this is the year we come to be a part of this church. So Lord, help us all, whether we make a public decision or whether we're seated and we leave this place, to make decisions that will change 2017. And if this is just another year in our life, or if this is the last year, may we live by grace to help us with our mess. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Would you stand, please? I'm here at the front. Others of our men are here. If you need to come, make a decision. Come on right now. We'd love to greet you. Come on. If you need to come.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled.
Sing it out. You know the words. Sing it out, church.
Grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
Let's bow our heads, please, for a minute. Thank you for being patient as we deal with these who have come. I'm going to have Eric sing again while we pray. Now, here's my question. What spiritual thoughts are you having right now? What's the Lord saying to you? Not about your neighbor. What about you? When you think about God's grace, when you think about your mess, what is it the Lord saying to you? We wait for just a minute. Eric's going to sing. As he sings, we wait.
Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide. Whiter than snow you may be.
All right, now we sing it together. Let's sing it. Grace, grace.
Grace, grace.
Amen.
God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace. God's grace. Grace that is greater than all.
Thank you very much for your patience. Would you be seated just for a moment, please? Let me remind you, all of you who are part of our church, and if you're a guest, we'd love for you to join us. We read through the Bible every year together. The new Bible reading plan is on the back tables as you go out. Please make sure you pick them up. It's the 1st of January. You can still get in your reading today, and we'll start together for another year. No services tonight. Wednesday night, we'll resume all of our activities. All right, Ryan, come and introduce these who are coming.
We have Melinda Hewitt and Ashley Elliott are coming to join us this morning. They want to join the church, become a member by statement of faith from another church, from another Baptist church. They've been going here for a couple of years and just want to join us in membership this morning. So if you all will rejoice in that situation with them and join with them in partnering in ministry here, raise your hand and say amen this morning. Amen.
Ladies, come on over here. Come on over here. Man, we're so glad you're here. God bless you for coming. All right, everybody knows the drill. You got to come by and say hello to these wonderful ladies on your way out and tell them who you are, and your job is to remember every person's name when they come by here, all right? All right, God bless you. Let's stand together. good to see you all. Here's the way we're going to end today. You're going to turn to your neighbor. Now, let me say what I want you to do. You're going to turn to your neighbor and say, Happy New Year. And then you're going to say this. Remember, Happy New Year. You're older than you've ever been. All right, God bless you. Come by and see these folks.